A young lady walked into a large church. She had arrived early for church that morning, not realizing that taking transit from her university campus would get her there that early. It was the very first Sunday of the school year, and she had decided she was going to go to church that Sunday. And so she showed up at church, and that particular church had an hour of family Sunday school for all ages before the service, and then they had their service at 11 a.m. Because she wasn't familiar with transit, she ended up arriving very early. And she walked into the sanctuary, and the only two people in the sanctuary were the sound man getting ready, as well as his wife. And she came in and sat down, and the sound man's wife saw this young lady and took the initiative, someone she had never met before, and went up and sat beside her, introduced herself, engaged in conversation, discovered very quickly who she was, where she had come from for university. I discovered that she was attending the university that her husband was a professor at, as well as connected to the hospital that she worked at in that particular city. Sat with her for the entire service, along with her two teenage children. Invited her home for Sunday lunch after the service, which she was more than glad of. As you know, students, they're more than glad to get a free meal at any time. So she went back to their home and enjoyed a few hours over lunch and conversation. And that particular church at that time had a Sunday evening service. And she said to the lady, said, "Is it okay if I come back for Sunday night church?" And they said, "Absolutely. Do you want us to take you back to your residence now and we'll pick you up on the way? Or if you want to stay with us for the rest of the afternoon, feel more than free to do so." She said, "No, I'd just love to stay. I'm just enjoying this time." Came back for the Sunday night church, heard a powerful message of the gospel, and by faith, that night, responded and gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That dear lady in our church and her family practiced biblical hospitality. They did not know this person. And listen to what the Word of God says. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. In other words, happily or sincerely. And one of the numerous one another's that we find in the New Testament that are written for the church is offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's addressed to believers. It reflects, when we think of us offering hospitality to others, no matter who they are, it reflects our own welcoming by the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like he welcomed that young lady that day into a relationship with him for all eternity, it's how God welcomes us into his family. And as we heard very clearly through the communion time, the wonderful, life-giving, life-changing message of the gospel, listen to what it says in Romans 15 and verse 7. When we think about God welcoming us, it says this: accept one another. There's another one of those one another's. Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And our practice of hospitality reflects the way that God himself has shown hospitality to us and welcomed us into his forever family. And if you're here this morning, and as you've listened to the songs, maybe you've even sang the songs, if you watched communion presented this morning, and as you listen to the Word of God, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God loves you deeply. And he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the full price for all of your sin. And he wants to welcome you into his forever family when we are willing to come in repentance and faith and accept his amazing, wonderful gift of salvation. Romans 12:13 says this: share with the Lord's people who are in need. And then it says, practice hospitality. Comes after this particular challenge, command to us, comes after the list of spiritual gifts in verses 3 through 8 of Romans 12. So in many ways, practicing hospitality, as well as all of the other commands that are listed in the ensuing verses, speak to us about putting those spiritual gifts into practice. And every follower of Jesus, and I didn't realize this when I came to repentance and faith in Christ, every follower of Jesus, the moment of our salvation, God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives, and we receive a spiritual gift. Some have more than one spiritual gift, And I encourage you, if you're not sure what your spiritual gift or gifts are, that you begin to discover those gifts. We can certainly help you with that. And then we can help you develop that spiritual gift. And then eventually we want you to deploy that spiritual gift, to put it into practice, primarily within the body of Christ, but also in our effectiveness of reaching out with the good news of the gospel. You see, in the midst of that list of these commands for the body of Christ, practicing hospitality in verse 13 really shows our love in action as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the active implementation of our spiritual gifts. So practicing hospitality, it's non-optional for followers of Jesus. So this morning I want to answer some important questions related to practicing biblical hospitality. So number one is this. What is hospitality? It's good to define what we're talking about. What does the Word of God say to us? Well, I looked up some different definitions in the dictionary. For example, one dictionary said, hospitality is the friendly and generous treatment of guests or strangers, involving the reception and entertaining of strangers. It encompasses, for example, the services provided in a hotel or a restaurant or other establishments, which we could then include as the church, aimed at making guests feel welcomed and valued. I thought, those are good words for newcomers to the church. I believe in the house of God, when people come and God brings new people to us on any given Sunday, not knowing who they are or what their background is, just like the lady in the church didn't know who this young lady was, but soon discovered, making them feel welcomed and valued. There's a television show from many, many years ago. I think it started back in the 70s or the 80s, and I thought part of their theme song would be very appropriate for the church. A place where everybody knows your name and they're always glad that you came. Some of you know what show I'm talking about. But I thought, aren't those good words for the church? Shouldn't the church be a place where everybody knows your name? Now, I know that's tough with, 400 people, okay? But wouldn't that be something special? Everybody knows your name and they're always glad that you came. I thought, that's great, especially for new people. And I think those words, again, welcomed and valued, should reflect and define how every newcomer feels at every church, no matter what church they go to. Another definition says the act of being friendly and welcoming to a guest, or the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, and generous way. Interesting, hospitality is mentioned in 1 Timothy 5:10, as one of the good deeds that widows should practice. That those who had their husband pass away, and through the practical everyday ministry, as God brings healing and comfort in their own hearts, just that they would be involved in practicing hospitality and welcoming others. The basic definition of hospitality is the welcoming of strangers. I remember myself at basically ages 12 through 23. And I've shared before, I came to Christ as a bus kid. So when I first went to one church at age 4, and then when we moved to another church at age 6 and rode the Sunday school bus, I was a stranger to those people. Through that, I came to know Jesus Christ at age 10. And then at age 12, I switched from one bus to another bus. Happened to be a Fellowship Baptist bus. That I ended up going to that church, not having a clue what that meant, but certainly enjoyed going there. And I can tell you, in all three of those churches, but especially the last one, where I was there from age 12 to 23, they loved me for Jesus. They welcomed me as if I was one of their own family. And when I first arrived, I was a stranger. And I can be honest with you, I wasn't the only stranger. That church at that time was about 180 people. They were running 5 buses every Sunday and bringing an average of 70 children on every bus. It's long before rules and regulations, how many people you could put on a bus. They rented those buses, believe it or not, through the bus company. They could provide their own drivers and insurance, $25 a Sunday. They rented those 5 buses. And they were bringing in an average of 350 children every Sunday. Could you imagine that today here at Calvary Baptist Church? We'd have a real problem. That was an incredible outreach back then. But you know what? They knew my name. When I missed a Sunday, my Sunday school teacher sent me a card in the mail. And I remember one of them especially. It didn't matter. If I missed a Sunday, I got a card in the mail that week. And it was a picture of a chain, but it was broken. There was a link missing. And then you flip the card over, and it simply said, "You are the link that makes the chain complete." And then a personal note written by my Sunday school teacher. How do you think that made me feel as a junior high kid? People loved me for Jesus. To them, I was a stranger. But I became one of their family. And to me, that became those years in my life, which were very significant through my teenage years and early young adult years, through my time in Bible college and then serving in that church for 2 years as a pastoral intern before God directed me elsewhere. That was my home church. And just as we firmly believe that every child needs a good home to grow up in, we'd all agree with that, right? Not a perfect home, because there are no perfect homes, but a good home. Every child of God, and no matter your age here today, you're a child of God. You're going to be a child of God until you get to eternity. And so every child of God needs a good home church to grow up in. This is where we grow up in our faith, and we welcome others in to join us in that growth. And I would say to you, even if you're only at Calvary for a short time, I know students are in and out all the time, and whether it's for just one semester for a work term and God's brought you here, or it's for 4 years of university and you go home in the summer, whatever that looks like, connect with this church. And if you don't have a good home church, then we welcome you to be a part of this wonderful church family. So keep that in mind, the welcoming of strangers, when we think of hospitality. So why should we practice hospitality, number two? Well, we already read the biblical command in 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without what? Without grumbling, sincerely and with a great heart. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, I love these verses, says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. So again, that context of the one another. And then it says this, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. If you've never done a study of angels, the theology of angels, I encourage you to do so. Lots of great resources we can point you to. But it's wonderful to see the angels throughout the scriptures created by God. And some of those angels, at certain times, can take on human form. You know, there might be an angel sitting near you this morning. You never know. Maybe someone you've never met before, and God has just sent an angel to Calvary Baptist Church. Do I believe in this? Absolutely. Again, we see examples of this in the Old Testament, of angels taking on human form. I remember in just a short, brief picture, even in the life of my own mother, and I'm not sure if it was an angel or a real doctor, but God brought a messenger, and angels are messengers, to my mom 2 months before she died. And as a result of that messenger, she gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ there in that hospital bed. And I'll never forget that moment. And it was either a real doctor who was taking an incredible risk, because unless they're asked, they don't share their faith, or God sent an angel. I'm not sure. But either way, God sent a messenger to preach the gospel to my mom that particular day. 3 John 1, if you turn there with me, listen to these verses. 3 John 1, and beginning in verse 1, it says, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. What's the background to these verses that John writes to his dear friend Gaius? Well, we read back in 1 Corinthians that Gaius was a leader in the church of Corinth. He had actually been baptized by the Apostle Paul. And Gaius' home became a base of operations for some itinerant preachers or missionaries. He opened his home when these people were traveling through. Again, they were strangers to him, but his home became this base of operations. And leaders had been sent to that church by John to help the church where Gaius was an elder. And he put up these strangers in his own home without a second thought. He offered hospitality to these particular men who were communicating the good news of the gospel. Interesting, as we think of Gaius here as an elder, one of the qualities, character qualities listed for elders and leaders in the church in Titus 1, verse 8, is to practice hospitality. And I would just encourage all of us in those leadership roles, we lead by example, especially in the care, obviously, of the church family, but also those who are new to our church. And if you're here in a leadership position, I encourage you, set the example for everyone else. Go out of your way this morning even to meet someone that you have never met before. And by the way, for all of us, as we connect with those that we've never met before, sometimes you introduce yourself to someone, and I've experienced this, especially in a larger church context, and I've said, are you new here this morning? And they say, well, actually, I've been attending here for 6 months. And you know what my response is? That's wonderful. I just haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet. Don't be embarrassed by that. It's okay, because nobody knows everybody. But do all that you can to connect with those that you've never met before. So why practice hospitality? Well, you may be entertaining one or more of God's messengers, unbeknown. Two, for the benefit and support of missionaries, itinerant preachers who are on the front lines of reaching out to those who are lost. Three, for the benefit of brothers and sisters in Christ. I remember one church I was pastoring, and a new family showed up at the door. I personally always enjoy being at the door. Even when I was pastoring full-time, that was just something I enjoyed doing. And, people would say, why aren't you in the back room praying? I said, well, I'll pray with you half an hour before the service, but then I want to be at the door. Not for my glory, but I want to meet people. This is my flock. I want to meet my sheep. You know, for some, that's the only connection I have with them during the week. So I want to meet people as they're coming, but also be on the lookout for those who are showing up for the first time at our church. And this young couple showed up for church, and I met them at the door. I introduced myself. They obviously already knew who I was by looking at our church website, by the way. Always make sure the church website's up to date and relevant so people know who's who and what service times, all those things, just some very practical things there we'll actually talk about next week in our workshop. But I met them. I got their names. They had two little children. I let them know about our program for children during the service. And, you know, they're welcome to keep their kids with them. Or if they wanted, children are dismissed partway through the service. And, you know, you go down with them and check them in, all those things. I also just asked a few kind of lead-in questions and discovered that she was a stay-at-home mom and he worked for WestJet Airlines. He was a pilot. And he'd been transferred from their base in Calgary, and his base would now be in Toronto. And in order to afford a home, they had to buy in Barrie, like a good hour north, and he'd be commuting down to Pearson Airport to begin his workday when he was flying. And so what I did, and this is something that's very, very helpful, knowing people in our own congregation, one of my elders was a pilot with Air Canada, competing airline, I understand that. So after I met them, I then took them and introduced them to this particular gentleman. He was there with his two teenage children. His wife also worked for Air Canada, and they worked their schedule that they were never both away at the same time. They wanted one parent at home with their teenage children all the time. So they were able to work their schedule that way. So it happened that was his Sunday. He and his teenage children sat with this family. Children went down for junior church and apparently really enjoyed it. And then after the service, this elder and his two teenage children took them out to Harvey's for lunch. Had a wonderful time together. I followed up with this family in the week and had a chance to visit with them and discovered they said, we were going to look for a church, but we don't need to go anywhere else. And you know what? Just those little things can make a world of difference. And I was so proud of that elder just automatically doing that. Sit with us. Let us take you out for lunch. It wasn't fancy. It was Harvey's. A little bit cheaper way back then, but just took them out and treated them and showed them biblical hospitality. and it made a world of difference for this family. And they were wonderful members of our church. So for the benefit, they were already believers, but for the benefit of brothers and sisters in Christ, it's also for the unsaved. And those may be coming back to church. Again, on any given Sunday, we don't know who God is going to bring to us as a newcomer, first-time visitor to Calvary Baptist Church. We don't know. It could be someone or family, you know, they're mature in their faith, been believers for years. Could be someone who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, but God the Holy Spirit has drawn them to church, or maybe a friend invited them, but they're here. Or it may be someone who's been struggling with their faith for years and dropped out of church years ago and thought, you know what, I'm going to give this one more chance. And they come back to church. And again, we can make an incredible difference in the heart and life of one person just by the way that we demonstrate biblical hospitality. And if you're here with children, especially younger children, teenagers, reason to practice hospitality is because it's an incredible example to your children of what we do as a family in welcoming others to be part of our family and join with us. And I know we discovered over the years when you have people in your home and they come, and if they've got children, it just benefits your own kids. And they get to meet these new people as well and be part of what God is doing. Number three, when? When do we practice hospitality? Whenever we see a stranger, someone we have never met before. Obviously, Sunday mornings is probably prime time to be able to meet those who are new to the church. But it also could be at a church-wide event, if you're involved in youth group, if you're involved in young adults or Awana, just the opportunity for making connections with people, when there is a need. And we can do something about it. I love the Luke 10, verse 38. Listen to what it says. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha did what? Opened her home to him. Could you imagine opening your home to Jesus? The Bible says, inasmuch as you've done it to the very least of my brethren, what does the rest say? You've done it unto me. And so as we practice biblical hospitality, it's as though we are doing it for Jesus himself. Here, Martha had that incredible privilege. And without second thought, she saw the need and she was available to help meet that need. She was anticipating the opportunity to be hospitable. And I would even say to you, come Sunday mornings asking God, who am I going to meet today for the very first time? And how do you want me in some way to demonstrate hospitality towards that particular person or that particular family? I mentioned that church that was so significant in my life when I was a child in junior high and up through my young adult years. And I remember as I got a bit older in that church, and we had deacons back then, not elders, but we had deacons and pastors. And I remember the senior pastor challenged the deacons and their wives, you have to be on the front lines of practicing hospitality. So when you see a new family, you're inviting them home for lunch. You put extra potatoes in the pot, okay? Back in those days, people did a lot more of that. A little bit different today. There's different ways to do it. But that was very common. Sunday lunch was a big deal. And so you could watch in that church, especially deacons' wives, who got to the newcomer first. It's like they were racing to get to the newcomer because they knew their pastor was watching. And they wanted to be the ones. But you know what? That church grew. And I would say one of the reasons, among many reasons, was because of the practice of hospitality and the example of leadership, especially in living out true biblical hospitality. And my mother-in-law was an amazing lady. Miss her deeply. And she shone when it came to practicing hospitality. And her kids knew on any given Sunday they could invite anybody home for lunch they wanted. If they were going home for Sunday lunch, which most weeks they did, she always made sure there was extra. That's how I got connected to the family. I got invited home for Sunday lunch. And I'm so grateful because I have this lovely lady here with me this morning who we will celebrate actually 40 years of marriage in September. Yeah, very, very thankful. But that's how I got introduced to the family. But it's because of hospitality. They were prepared. They were thinking. They were ready. And also, we need to allow others to show hospitality, even if we feel we don't need it. Listen to Acts 16. I love these verses. Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. It says this. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. A dealer in purple cloth, she was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. There's evidence right of way of a changed heart. She automatically offered hospitality. And sometimes we fail, well, we don't need it. But you know what? If someone invites, just respond, because you're giving them the blessing of offering hospitality to you. You demonstrate it, but also receive it, because I know sometimes it's hard for us to receive it. So when do we practice hospitality? I would say anytime is hospitality time. Number four, who benefits from us showing hospitality? The body of Christ. Acts 2, verses 2:45 and Acts 4, verse 32, talk to us about the early church and just the example there and the way they shared with one another. They met together for meals and shared everything they had, gave as people had need. Different day today, different environment, okay? But still the church. And we have opportunity all around us to be meeting needs within the family of God. And the church is a place, not only a place to call home for children of God, it's also a place for meeting needs. And through hospitality, God can use us in using what we have. And you might say, I have limited resources. That's okay. Use what you have for the glory of God and bless the family of God. Who benefits? I've already mentioned newcomers to Sunday services. They are all strangers, so we need to go out of our way to be hospitable. And you know what? Your friends will be okay if you don't talk to them after the service right away. They'll be okay. They'll still be your friends. Go out of your way to talk to others. You can reconnect with your friends at a later time. Even bring them into your friend group. I love watching that when someone meets someone new and they'll get involved in conversation and then they'll help connect them to others. So be a connector within God's church. Help people connect with one another. And it can make, again, a world of difference. And maybe sometimes I've even discovered, as I did with that gentleman who worked for WestJet and his family, in a sense, I met them, but I handed them off so someone else could then take that further. And so even be a connector. Maybe you don't become really close friends with that person. That's okay. But help them connect. I love watching, and I believe young adults can be so good at this. I've seen it in my history. Often in the church, they shine in this area, is they see someone new and they go out of their way to connect with them. And then they bring them in and invite them to join. And maybe it's a Facebook group where people connect and they get invited to different things. And I just think it's wonderful to see those kind of things happen. I believe everyone should be a greeter and a welcomer in God's church, should be part of our DNA as a church family. Yes, we have official greeters, welcomers at the door. I believe that's important. But all of us have a biblical responsibility to be on the lookout for strangers. What happens at the door in many ways is somewhat limited because people are on their way in and afterwards maybe they're on their way out and in a hurry to get somewhere. So this time before and after the service is absolutely so vital in connecting with those. And again, we never know who God's going to bring us on any given Sunday. And I love it, and it's part of our church family, those from different countries and cultures, those who are newcomers to Canada. God's brought us recently some newcomers to Canada who are attending here on a pretty regular basis now. But again, it's because some people have gone out of their way to connect with them and to show them biblical hospitality. And then, of course, unsaved people can really benefit from hospitality. It can make a world of difference, just like it did for that young lady. I remember in a church where we were doing multiple services in two locations, and one of those was on a university campus. We had two services there, and I had the privilege of being there every Sunday, kind of being the pastor on site there. We had video of the sermon from the other church location, And I led the services, and there was a sound man we had every week, basically the same guy. His name was Sean. I don't know what happened with Sean. But Sean was up in the sound booth way up top in the theater, Alumni Theater at Carleton. And I got to know him really well, obviously, so just because I needed my mic and I want to make sure everything is ready for when the worship team showed up. And he was very efficient, very effective, and did his job exceptionally well. One Sunday, he shared with me, he said, my girlfriend is expecting. We just found that out. So I let everybody in those two services know that. People turned around and cheered for Sean, and he was very grateful for that. Roughly 9 months later, guess what he told me? My girlfriend had a little baby girl. So I announced that, and again, people cheered and were excited and talked to him afterwards, and that was wonderful. The next Sunday, unbeknownst to me, and I'm not sure if someone took initiative to do this or people just did it on their own, someone maybe started making phone calls, that first service that morning, there was probably 35 gift bags on the platform. They were for Sean and his girlfriend. Somewhat unsaved. I had to make him come all the way down to the front and say, Sean, these are for you. We'll help you with them afterwards. Second service, probably another 15 bags got added. So I made Sean come all the way down to the front. What an incredible testimony from believers in the heart and life of that young man and his girlfriend. Someone, again, God, the Holy Spirit just laid it upon their hearts. And people responded. There was no big announcement. People just showed. Talk about showing hospitality to someone who, for most, was a relative stranger. So how do we practice hospitality? Some practical application as we wrap up this morning, as we land the plane. Be creative. I would challenge our small groups this morning. Be creative in how you as a group can show hospitality. Acts 28, verses 1 and 2. Listen to these verses. Acts 28, 1 and 2, it says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Creative thinking. What can we do to demonstrate what we show hospitality? Use what you have. Add people. If you've got a Facebook group, I know some of our young adults do, automatically add them to the group. And make sure, extend the invite, that they get the invite. Adopting a student who is away from us, caring for them, loving them. Maybe you're a good baker, you make some great meals, or you know you can just offer some practical help to people. Maybe as a small group, you get together to do something for one of the neighbors that are nearby, where you meet for your small group, whatever it can be. God can use it in a powerful way. Take some students out for lunch or have them back to your home. Always have more than one. Sometimes a little awkward for a student if they get invited by themselves. Find two or more, okay? And just enjoy that time. And you can learn a lot from young adults, especially those of us who are older. They can teach us a lot of good things. I love the story of the Good Samaritan, don't you? And you know what? There's three attitudes in that story. And there's only one right attitude. The thieves, their attitude was, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. The priest and the Levite, their attitude was, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. And the Good Samaritan, what's mine is yours, and I'm going to give it. And that needs to be our mindset. Good Samaritan ministered to a stranger, went above and beyond to show hospitality to that man who is in such great need. And we can go above and beyond. And there's many examples of people doing that. Can I give you a couple of warnings? If you're inviting someone over, be careful not to do it in a big public setting where there's others in earshot. I've experienced it myself, and to be honest with you, to my shame, early on I did it a few times where I said, hey, let's get together for lunch. But meanwhile, there's someone else standing there thinking, well, what's wrong with me? Again, we can't invite everybody. We know that. So just be careful in doing that if you're just inviting a few. If you're putting out a widespread invitation, please go to it. That's wonderful. But just be mindful of that, that that can also cause some hurt in someone's life. Then also, never ever say, that's my seat on Sunday morning. Sorry, Lynn, it's not your seat. Their theme song is, "We Shall Not Be Moved." No. Thankfully, I know them well. They can laugh with me. But you know what? There's no designated seating at Calvary Baptist Church. You got that? Okay. I've seen it in church where someone has sat in a particular place as a newcomer. They didn't know any better. And someone's actually gone up to them and said, "You're in my seat." Please, that made me cringe. And as a pastor, I quickly provided some correction after the service to that particular person. Okay. There's no designated seating. And we obviously have a space problem. That's why we need overflow at the 11 a.m. service in the fall. And again, by you as a small group, once a month at the most, sitting in overflow, guess what you're doing? You're showing hospitality. So newcomers, strangers, can find a place to sit and be able to worship and be able to hear the great preaching of the Word of God. James 4:17 says this, very challenging verse. "Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him, it is sin." How can God use you and your resources to practice hospitality? What can or should you do, even this morning, to welcome a stranger? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. It's so practical and so relevant. And we have the joy of living out the truth of your word in our everyday lives as followers of Jesus. So help us, Father, all of us, I pray. Even at times we may not feel like it, Lord, to practice true biblical hospitality, to welcome those that we've never met before, and to go out of our way to do all that we can to share with them and to show them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray. May you continue to bless this congregation as we continue to show your incredible love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.